welcome to the Don Bourgeoisie Success in Real Estate Sales Be the House album. Now, I've never done anything like this before, made this sort of talk available. It's the sort of talk I give to other real estate agents or internationally, sometimes just known as estate agents. When we say estate, though, in the United States, we think of the possessions of the dead. And aren't really our human souls the possessions of the living? And our bodies a sort of house? And so I believe that where we live is sacred. Sometimes that space is literally sacred, like if you live in an old church. Now, I've sold lots of old churches to hippie couples. I don't say that in a bad way. Beautiful, wonderful, warm, creative hippie couples who see that church and think, this is something else. I've seen spaces where I've said, hey, this is a refrigerator repair storefront. But they look at it and they go, no, it's a loft or some other creative living space. And just maybe conversely, I've sold houses to people who have later gone on to illegally turn them into churches. So you're not supposed to do that. If you want to meet in a religious way, it's best that you advertise that and have a public, either a storefront or some freestanding structure like a Quonset hut, and maybe you could get the congregants together to paint a mural on it to make it look less industrial and sterile. Now, something that helped me become a good seller of houses or real estate in general. What is an unreal estate? Well, I'm not being a cute comedian. You don't have to be cute to be a comedian. I mean flippant. I'm not being comic on purpose. Oh, it'd be wonderful. I was inadvertently comic. A lot of times being funny is a great way to make a sale, but you're never sure of the sense of humor of the buyer. It can really backfire. You think you're being funny, and they look at you as if you've insulted their god. And maybe you have, literally. You don't know. So err on the side of whimsy, perhaps. Be whimsical. Show up in a hat that's an unconventional color, but not so much it's going to create confusion. I think, what is this, a wizard that's trying to sell us a house? No, it's a very conventional person who doesn't mess around. So when we come down to brass tacks, if there's any involved, after the home inspection, sometimes that'll happen. Home inspector will say, this place is great, save for about 5 brass tacks. And then we'll negotiate, so I have it 4 brass tacks. So yes, because I'm tough. And then the fifth tack, what we'll do there is we'll get them to bend on something else. We'll get them to bend on their budget, so they're budging and bending. Now, that's another chapter, budging and bending. I'm going to start at the very beginning, though, with what any real estate agent, or as we referred to before, estate agent, or anybody who wants to sell property that's not property like someone's old switch plates that have Jesus or the flag on them, something you might sell at the flea market. I mean what they call real property, which is like a house or a tent, not a permanent tent though. Let's say you have a novelty restaurant called Mash Potatoes, and it's spelled like the show. And you say the theme is both the Korean War and taters. And we've mixed them together. So you've got the tubers and the horrible human crisis. And they're all together there in the human consciousness. When I was a child, my grandparents would take me to a restaurant that was called the something Air Squadron, 409 or some compelling number. And we would go there. wasn't 666, Era Squadron. And we would go there, and they would have, the theme was air war or something like that. But gosh darn it, they had a fine cheddar cheese soup. And I had never seen this before, and as a young man, it impressed me. They had Laurel and Hardy shorts playing on television sets, which hung from the ceiling. Now, normally, television sets would infuriate my grandfather, who didn't believe in watching television while you ate. He would say, eating is just eating. When you're eating, just do that. You don't do it in the toilet. You don't do it in the living room in front of the television set. You can do it poolside with lots of rules. So there's exceptions, but not very many. When you sit down to do something, I do it. Now, when I sit down to sell real estate, step one, I'm going to get to step, we say, that was all the introduction. Hey, take a look at the record. It hasn't gone very far. Your voice, Don, it soothes me. Almost to the point where I have to sit down. Start out sitting down. When I concentrate and I'm working in the office, I often sit down. I have to stand up sometimes so that I don't get leg blood clots. Now, I believe this happened to President Nixon. I don't know if his real estate experience was, but maybe it was informed by phlebitis. Now I begin by sitting down, and one of the first steps I think about is how do I appear to a potential client? To sell a house, you have to sell it to someone. It's not enough to put the house on the market. Sometimes people say, I'm going to put the house on the market to test the waters. Well, you test the waters with your bare feet or your hands or some other part of your anatomy that's sensitive and that you trust. But I wouldn't test the waters with your house sales unless you intend to vacate the premises and turn the keys over to a new owner. Now, who would that be? So I don't want to sell to just anyone. For instance, a lot of people say, I like my neighbors, and I really don't want to sell to someone who's going to be doing dangerous drug manufacturing or manufacturing anything, really. I go, what about candles? And I go, what do you mean? I go, well, I sold a house, actually it was a church, to a couple that made candles. And they sold them, and they were no trouble at all. Now, there's nothing involved until you actually light the candle. I don't think hot wax is not super dangerous. Well, some people will pay you a little money to have it poured on them. Others will say, hey, I fell into a vat at Vincent Price's museum. Now, that's all fiction, and we fight that every day, all those myths about, oh, I don't want to go to a wax museum, because the owner's a psychopath, and inside each one of those, like a Cadbury egg, is a soft human filling. I don't subscribe to that. I don't subscribe to anything. Let me tell you something I learned about sales before I was a house. A young person came to our front door in the 1970s. I believe it was the late 70s when people were taking LSD recreationally. And that person came to the front door and they said to my grandmother, who answered, I am selling magazine subscriptions as a way of bettering myself and mainly earning money for college travel. Or something. It was all messed together, the goals of this individual. But my grandmother wanted to help. And then she thought, well, Don, he enjoys real estate. So I will subscribe to Real Estate Digest, which I to this day don't know is a real magazine, for him. And the person said, great. Make your check out to Grace Charlatan or something like that. So grandmother did, went away, and we never heard anything ever again. Now, this made me very sad. She didn't really think about it, apologized, in fact, that I didn't receive the subscription and blamed Real Estate Magazine when I'm sure the weak link was the salesperson. Sometimes a salesperson is not selling a real thing, and I see this on television all the time. In the form of art, we are often being marketed at. I know you think, well, he put too many EDs in that. No, no, no. You can't have too much of that. Past tense. I'm emphasizing that. A long time ago, people thought that if you used a double negative, that language became like mathematics, and suddenly it was positive. I don't know nothing, or something like that. You'd have to add up the negatives, and you go, well, that means you do know something. Well, we now know that that's nonsense, that the more negatives you have, the more negative it is. And if you've been to any kind of family reunion, you know that it works that way. Two negative people don't make a positive person, really. Oh, it'd be wonderful if it worked that way. What about a negative and a positive person? Well, there you go. And you just have, it's just neutral, I suppose. That's why a lot of offices are very finely balanced, probably slightly charged towards the negative. I understand that. There's always someone who does not want to be at work. Hey, I understand sales are not for everyone, especially customers. They want to be on the other end. Not everyone is a leader. Not everyone is a follower. Well, everyone's a leader. That's unfortunate. We put that into people's minds. You needn't lead. Can I just follow? Sure. What kind of parade would we have if everyone was a drum major? Also, you'll notice the drum major who stands in front with a baton. That's the bourgeoisie part of me. Wants to pronounce it baton. The person who stands in that, this is a vinyl record, which I find extraordinary. The drum major doesn't do anything particularly interesting. In fact, it is within the meat of the parade. A parade is like a nut, and a lot of the good part is in the nut meat. A nut meat parade, and that is how I describe real estate sales to those of us who come to these meetings. Now, you're not at one of these meetings, and so you can't look at your watch and say, I just want some of those donuts. When is this fella gonna stop? You can stop the record right now. Yeek! Like that scratchy sound. That's 90s for uh-oh. But I digress, which is unfortunate. I thought this would be edited. Now, what has happened is, when I began this, really life, I guess it's a lifetime goal. It just started, but it's happening within my life, so. This lifetime goal of having to record a vinyl record, it's not as easy as a person thinks. And I have come upon one of these booths, which I am in now, at a fair, and say, I didn't think you could record a 60-minute LP at one of these. I go, 60 minutes, a double album. I'm recording a double album with a booklet in a booth at a fair about real estate by Don Bourgeoisie, hyphenated, Bourgeoisie, and right in Alsatian. Then a lot of people ask, and I'm answering now. Oh, it's great to be on record with you, and that you're interested in sales and putting this on. I think sometimes people will put on a record at a party. Question, why do we do that? And why is that pertinent for real estate? Answer, hey, the answers are something we search for throughout our quest and our development as sales agents. Now you are wondering, why don't I use the word for a real estate agent that has or at the end and a trademark symbol? Well, there you go. That's the answer. I think my T-shirt has answered your question, as the children say. That's it. So anybody can sell a house. It's a great fallacy that you need a license for that. What you need a license for. So I'm going to have to look that up, because I think, to sell them to strangers or something? I don't know. you don't always need an agent. So as a salesperson, you are privileged. We don't need you. All right? I don't know if you've seen the bad Cooper in Twin Peaks: The Return, but he says, "Hey, friend, my friend Ray, I don't need anything. I want to sell this property." Now, some of you might be saying, what you're saying to me, a lot of it, is very funny to me, inadvertently. Don, oh, that's, well, that brings such joy to me. And I think I know why. And this is because that comedy and real estate share a rule of threes. So in comedy, I might say two things that are ordinary, and then one thing that isn't ordinary. Like I might say, I don't know, hot box, cockroach. You're not expecting the cockroach. That's a poor example, but it is a rule of three, you know. It'll dawn on me a better example. In real estate, though, which I have spent 10,000 hours as a house, and so I've achieved mastery, I can tell you the rule of threes, and that is, I'm going to show you some houses today, friend client. I'm going to show you three houses, two of which are rubbish, and one is exactly, it's actually more than what you want and well out of your price range. And so that we know what's going to happen there. So I don't know what to tell you. You want a dog? I'm going to show you an ugly dog. I'm going to show you a dog that smells of feces, and I'm going to show you Lassie. So there you go. And they fall for it every time. Are they falling, though? Do we need to fall in order to fly? Am I helping this client fly by flying into a house? I want to ask you a question. I don't mean to interrupt, and I hope they don't put a track groove on the record here, because it's the same. It's really the first track. I think they had this trouble with a lot of albums, including Isaac Hayes's Hot Buttered Soul. I just confused the word blood and butter. Now, if you can, don't do that at the movie theater. I'd like some. Could you squirt some blood on my popcorn? Anyway, I don't want them to put an extra track cut. I am merely like to go off on tangents sometimes. For instance, you're selling a house, and you wander through it. And sometimes you will, with the client, discover a secret passage together. Now, maybe this is part of a underground railroad for slaves, although I'm pretty sure this was constructed in the 1970s. Who knows what it is? So we go into the secret chamber, and in there, who knows what we find? A lot of times, this has happened to me frequently, a lot of times what we'll find is some sort of map with pins in it, and then a lot of post-it notes and cigarette butts, and that's about it, and dust. Who knows what happened there? But it's over. Nothing to see now. We can only speculate about what sort of dreams went on in this house. Hi, I'm non-bourgeoisie, and I'm not sure if the record is flipped or not. You know, I don't know where they put the end. That's, I'm fooling you. It's not the end of the record yet. And they have to make sure that they don't interrupt it in the middle of speaking, the way a YouTube video ad does. They don't care at all. They'll go right into selling you a personal piece and conveying important information, and then all of a sudden someone's telling you about which meal they ordered, a pre-prepared but unassembled meal that they received in the mail, and how much they enjoyed it. And it makes me lonely when I see those people say, "I can't, I'm excited I moved to Brooklyn. I live alone." I put a D on the end. It's Brooklyn. There's no D. I'm excited that I'm living in New York City, and I'm living my dream, and they're mailing me burritos, which I have to make myself. A lot of it's self-serve. The food, the love, the companionship. Who sold me this apartment? I'm not. I'm renting. Now, do you do rentals, Don? Oh, don't go down that Is it a rabbit hole or is it a sub-basement? It's a sub-basement. Flooding. Radon. The spiritual kind. Don't do it. Although renting is fine for some people. The rentier class. A lot of people have the surname Rentier. And you say, how did you get that? The same way you got the surname Bourgeoisie, my friend. Touche. I wonder if you realize what today's date is. You say, well, today is the first day of my real estate career blossoming. I'm going to blossom like a 80s child star, and hopefully I don't crash. There's so many child stars who used to do it. Let's take someone like Jackie Cooper. Jackie Cooper starts out as a child star. He is exploited, does not get to have any of that sweet, sweet, long Little Rascals money, which he earned. And so they change the laws for minor actors. Now Jackie Coogan goes on skipping. Now he's old and famous. So what happened in between there, I wonder? You wonder. Jackie Coogan, I said. Jackie Cooper, too. Both of them. Both child stars. And Jackie Coogan went on to be Uncle Fester. A horrible name. Uncle Fester. He's your father, Puss. His brother. Went on to that fame. You know, what happened in between there, Jackie Coogan? What happened in between there, Jackie Cooper? Well, the Cooper Coogans are a lot like real estate agents. You can start out, you sign up for that brokerage firm. You say, boy, I feel lucky. Mainly because I'm preying upon some wealthy people. And you go out there and you sell a home that nobody else could sell because it's a perfect fit. Happens. If it wasn't you, it would have been the other person. Probably should have been. Someone who was there longer, deserved it more. But it was you, you newbie. And you come back, you feel charred. Now, your next sale may not happen for a very long time. And you'll notice that, why does my desk keep moving? This is some Glenn Ross action here I'm getting. I'm forced to the back here. And I'm feeling a little bit discouraged. All right, well, you thought you were hot. Now you're not. Now you're cold snot. How's that feel? Not good. So that's why I decided I'm going to do an album. You might notice that the name of this album, if you're going through the little booklet, have you seen the booklet? I apologize for the nudes. This was assembled because I lived as a house. I was involved in a time machine accident. As you know, I am associated with a certain person named Hardy White. And he has, illegally own the machine, but it's not licensed to be operated. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to turn him in. I just think that's a dangerous thing, and it affected my life particularly. I was in an accident. It's not his fault. In an accident in the time machine, and my spirit was taken from my body, which has since died and decayed, and was put into this house where I could feel things, I could sense them. I had no eyes and yet I could see. I had no ears and yet I could hear. I had no skin and yet I could feel others and their contact with me. I could feel the wind on the outside, on my roof. I could feel it move my shutters on a really blustery day. I felt the earth shake under my foundation one time. It was very disturbing. I felt all those things. I felt a fist penetrate my wall out of rage. I felt that sting and the fear of it even more, the fear of the sound of a raised voice, a voice in anger. I've heard it all. I've heard cries of ecstasy and cries of pain. I have heard sobs of loneliness and sobs of overwhelming joy, all within me, all because I was a house. And so if anybody can give you insight into what it feels like to be a house and then say, I'm going to sell myself. If you are an artist or anything, and you have an aunt or a mother or a nosy relative, and they think they can help you with your career, which they perceive as being stalled, then you have heard the expression to sell yourself. You're not selling yourself. Perhaps you should sell yourself. Say, how do I sell myself? I got to list myself for, what should I list myself for? If I previously have never sold, I'm a new property, but I'm not a new property. I feel old. I feel lived in. How do I list myself to even sell myself? What am I asking? How do I describe the property? What pictures do I take? The best angles? Do I have to repaint my living space, my internal space, in order to sell myself better? Grandmother, answer me these. Wake up and look me in the eye and answer me, how shall I sell myself? Should I be available to be anything to anybody? So should I be picky? Should I say I'm something specific? If I'm selling something in the paper, people like some specificity. Cars for sale. If I simply said in an ad under cars for sale, car for sale, what's that? I have to say a specific type of car, Grandma. And sometimes when I describe myself and what I do, it's not what people want. So selling myself isn't it, is it? Make yourself more desirable. No, I can't do that. Now, you can a little bit. For instance, you can paint things beige. A lot of realtors would say, oh, gosh, it looks like you've really enjoyed your living space. And what interesting color choices you've made. And a lot of people are going to come in here and say, wow, that's a vibrant shade. Now, if it was beige, maybe they'd walk in here and say, this house is incredible. Because if this beige room is any indication, then this house has good bones. Had this room been pink, oh, I would have assumed that the foundation was built on marshmallows. Now, I don't know why this is. It's something in the human psychology. And in real estate, we pander to bigotry, is what we say. We don't say that out loud, but that's what we do. People have preconceived notions that are often unfair and unjust, and we try to anticipate what they are and trick them into parting with their money. We're not tricking. So again, it's not trick. Is a technique a trick? Is persuasion a trick? Now, if you've ever taken a writing class, you know what it's like to grab a big chunk of your hair and rip it from your scalp. But you also know that you probably had to do a few papers called argument and persuasion. So, I've done that with my parents when I'm trying to get them to let me drink liquor on the weekends or something. And say, I should be able to have liquor, Mom and Dad. I enjoy it, and right between the initial imbibing and the vomiting, it's a lot of fun. So that's an argument and persuasion. Say, why do you need it? Well, it helps me write my novels. I couldn't write or do my art without being dangerously and dependently drunk on alcohol. So there's your paper. I disagree with that, but that might be your argument and persuasion paper, because that's the way that we seem to interact. We have to argue things, or like some people say, give someone a way to get to yes, so that they can say yes to what you're saying. You say, I propose, let's rub up against one another or something. I'm going to give you some reasons so that you can say yes without feeling coerced or anything like that. I don't mean literally rub up. I meant, you know, associate. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, sometimes my antiquated speech, and it is antiquated because time machine and being a house, the house I was older than I was when I became a house. Does that make sense? So let's say I was in my mid-40s. I became a house that was 60 years old, gaining some additional 15 years of experience, albeit in the form of wood and plaster. Oh, I'll tell you, being a real estate agent is a challenge. Some days it's just sitting at your desk and eating your pencils. And you say, chewing on your pencils, and I know I wish. Sometimes I just mindlessly ingest it as well. And a lot of it can be eaten. Yul Brynner might have said this too. You can eat a pine tree. And pencils are cedar, which is a type of evergreen. But if you're eating conifers, hey, let's eat a cedar. At least it's a little more aromatic than a pine tree. A lot of people, it's the difference between, really, between thyme and marjoram. But you eat the cedar, and there's graphite in it, which is just earth, and rubber, which is comes from a tree, and the metal grommet, which is a little bit of a devil to digest. I'm not going to lie to you. And I might have done some harm. I stopped eating pencils. Let's see if I stopped soon enough. But you sit there and you think, I'm never going to make a sale. What sales motivational record has ever suggested that you do that? Question. Now, I just said that there so you could do some scratching. I don't know if you want to do any scratching or beat mixing with this vinyl. Question, quack, 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 quack. Now, I don't have to do that because you'll do that on your end. So, oh, that sounds unlike really a scratch and more like Charlie Callis. When you are engaged in sales, this could be for cars or houses or anything, really, candies. What you want to do is try to suss, a lot of sussing, and that's using your eyes to figure out this customer's needs and what they want and what they're interested in, what books they might have read, what shows they look. Look at the shirt. A lot of times they'll be writing on it. Try to look at the, read the writing on you, and you have some place to start with the conversation. So you might look at the, you look at the shirt and you'll say something like, eyes odd, huh? There's better things than that. A lot, sometimes it'll be a sports team. And you can say, sports team, huh? And they'll go, yeah, it's my brother's shirt. All right. Looking good this year. Or a concert T-shirt. You say, I see you're wearing that T-shirt. Do you listen to the Misfits, or are you just trying to look cool? And that'll be a great way to gain some rapport, which is important for sales. Sales step 2, avoiding the law. No, I'm joking with you. We want to be compliant with all laws. Now, this can be a separate cut, Mr. Beep, flip the album. When I would listen to story records as a child, my mother, Mrs. Z, it's hyphenated, you know, bourgeoisie. I called my mother Mrs. Z. That's funny, isn't it? But Mrs. Z would put on a story record for me out of reach of my bedside. So when the story record reached its termination, and it wasn't a Tech 12 or anything, it would shut off at the end of the... It didn't just go shuff, 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 shuff. It would click off, but I would say if the story hadn't concluded, I would say, Mother, Mrs. Z, could you lift the record for me? It's out of arm's length. And she would dutifully come in and flip the record for me, and she would say, this completes the story. So go to sleep or suffer. I said, all right, good night. And the rest of the record would play. Beep. So I think that's what we're doing now. But maybe this is side 2, but I really don't know. And as I was going to say earlier, and might have, because a year has gone by since side 1, that these projects take a long time. I don't know how large the physical record is. If it's very tiny, let's say it's the size of a silver dollar pancake. A silver dollar pancake is larger than a silver dollar. Again, all this is very confusing, the English language. But let's say it's very... I know. Let's say the pancake is the size of a CD. Not the pancake. The record. And who knows how many sides it would take. You'd keep flipping it. Smaller than a 45. A 45 is something we used to have when I was a child in our juke boxes, and a lot of, also at home, though, you were allowed to bring them home. They weren't just in the boxes, but you'd, one of the few machines you get to see the guts of. They don't let you do that in, say, a stamp machine. Maybe it's not interesting. But when they're playing a record, you say, look at that, you get to see it being done. On the Florida Turnpike in the 1970s, it was possible to put a coin into a machine. And that machine was sort of large and contained a very elaborate-looking mechanism of presses and sort of a small factory, a steamy wax factory, the type you might see in Vincent Price's aforementioned wax museum or a hippie's candle-making church. And it was covered with a plastic dome, and what would happen is you put a coin in there, and it makes for you a wax figure in the shape of how you imagine Florida. Now, this could be a sailfish or a dolphin or something else, or a beautiful, the beautiful, shining, experienced face of an elderly relative. And that's so you could get one. I don't know if the turnpike went all the way to Boca, but I imagine that their rest stop there. One of the most famous stops on the old Florida Turnpike was the Akatakni Akatakalasa Kisasasami Akula Kanani stop. Now, it sounds vaguely Native American. Well, that's because the colonists like to steal things from people and then name it after them, so as an extra insult. That's why it's generally horrible. So if you see places, say, well, I don't know that this was named by the people who live here. No. So what you're seeing is someone's ultimately stolen real estate. Oh my gosh. Don, is it really the time or place to talk about man's inhumanity to man here on a real estate record? Yes. Of course. Of course it is. The sooner we realize how maybe the things that we want might give pain or suffering to someone else, the sooner that we get a neighborhood that looks more like the one that we imagine. When I was a house, I stood there silently as I watched injustice. I watched people bring pain to one another. I watched indifference. I watched indifference more than anything. Indifference played like 70s rerun on one of those stations that does nothing but play 70s reruns over and over. Same themes. Same themes. Same stories. We walked past each other with eyes cast down. Oh, I '70s rerun on one of those stations that does nothing but play 70s reruns over and over. Same themes. Same themes. Same stories. We walk past each other with eyes cast down. Oh, I longed to be among them again, so that I could raise up my voice and say, I am here to be a real estate agent for the human soul. Now, the thing I am selling is humanity. What I'm going to give you is your feelings back. Oh, yes. That closing is going to be exquisite. We will sit there at a beautiful table, and we will all be looking at one another. And before us will be an agreement. Something that we can all put our names on, something that is fair, something that gives all of us what we desire, what we need, a place to live, something to sustain us, that everybody who walks away from this table of bounty feels as if they have something more than when they came in the room. And yet, all they have done is exchange something. When I give my love to you, and you take it and give me love back, you will find that you have more than what you gave, and that I also have more than what I gave. How is that possible? It is amplified. It is amplified through this beautiful way of framing our desires and our needs. The real estate is our hearts, and we go in there. What is this record? I thought it would make me a better salesman, sir, ma'am, whatever the honorific you want to say. I don't gender my honorifics. I honor everyone. My customers transcend that. They're often non-human spirits that dwell in houses. I walk into a space, and one of the first things I'm aware of is it's frequently occupied by memories, by other things that are in there. Oh, why are they playing that? I wonder if they're playing the record ever on a radio. I imagine it's in your home, of course, and you're playing it on your stereo. Not a stereo. It needn't be in stereo. I'm over here. That's the same Don. Don's everywhere in my house. I'm in the living room. Now I'm in the bedroom. Now I'm in the kitchen. But they could broadcast it. Wonderful if it was ever played on AM radio. I feel I would do better if I was played with less frequency, fewer frequencies. I am unaware if anyone's ever going to listen to this album. Perhaps it shall languish in a bin in some used record store in a college town, of course. That's the only place they have used record stores. Who but the young would want to visit something old like that that's perhaps dated? They merely get it to laugh at it. A lot of things, everything that's past a certain age, spoken word-wise in a college used record store, is in the comedy bin. Alas, real estate sales records are always there. The real estate sales records also are right next to, say, someone's other types of performance art. It's interesting, isn't it? You'd say, ah, oh, there's his Bill McCulloch's, How to Be a Salesman, and it's right next to that beautiful monologue by that fella who's dead now. Say, how can, is that the same thing? Yes, I believe it is. At some point, the artist has nothing to do with that thing that you find in the bin. You must let it go. I wonder if anyone's ever found my body, devoid of a soul. Maybe they are living in it. Ants, sometimes, live in bodies, or worms. Perhaps my original head, the original Don Bourgeoisie human skull, is lived in by worms or beetles. I wonder if I knew a specific species that lived in human remains, I would list them. I don't. I wonder if stink bugs live there. Stink bugs will kind of cling to anything. I'm like that with philosophies, or I was. I treated philosophies like a drape in the winter. That's the way stink bugs act. They will cling to that. You say, stink bug, you can't stay there for months until there's water availability. And again, watch me, says the stink bug. Watch me as I cling to this single piece of drapery. When I was a house, I knew I had drapes within me. I knew I had things just the way you know you have sinews or veins or vesicular joints. I'm no anatomist. I knew they were there, but I couldn't always see them. I couldn't always see directly those living within me, but I knew they were there. I knew I had conflicting voices the way I do when I think I shouldn't do this. Oh, come on, do it. Should I? Go on, who's watching? Well, I'm watching. Are you, though? Go on, you know you want it. Do I? Do I know I want it? Now, you've probably had that conversation in you. I've had it in me with other distinct people who live there, who lived in my living quarters, is what I call my, what I used to call my guts. I am no longer a house. You say, how are you, Don Bourgeoisie, real estate agent, making a record album, if you're an abode? I am no longer. I was put back into another body, a similar one. Not the same one, and that one's gone. But this is the same spirit. And I believe that the spirit endures, and it can pop into different physical forms. Just the way that my thoughts are popping into your head and gonna live there for a while. I don't want you to live in my space, Don. I'm sorry. Oh, fine, that's fine. May I visit? And you say, yes, if you take off your shoes. I'm willing to take off my shoes, but may I make a suggestion? Question. Have you considered putting down plastic sheeting on the floor to be walked upon the way we have in an open house? When we know there's going to be traffic on our carpet, we put down something to protect it. When you know there's going to be traffic on your emotions, when you might have something walked on, which you don't want walked on, would it be okay to put down a couple sheets of plastic? That's okay, right? It's all right to protect yourself. You can still let others in. You can still be open without risking soiling your carpet. You do not have to give up something that gives you pleasure to be welcoming and to be open. This is the number one key to having an open house. Compromise. I am not willing to completely change the house to have you like it, but I'll compromise with you. Now, this is what stopped me just personally from poking people in the eye, something I enjoy. So I know, Don, others don't. I accept that, and I will forgo the eye poking. So there we have it. Now, you might have other questions. I understand that. And a record album, unlike the seminars, and when it's the first time I've used that word, I said meeting, I couldn't remember the word seminar. The seminars that we have questions often. Sometimes the audience will mistake the seminar for a comic book convention and ask me particulars of a character or something, what they'll be doing, or whether there's a movie franchise, and I just don't know. But I'll tell you this, I know what escrow means, and I can tell you a lot of things about, I can tell you that I would rather avoid the artificial fresh-baked cookie spray. It's not the same as just bake the cookies. It's not worth it. I've had people come in and say, what is that odor? It smells terrible. This is bad. It smells as if hippies are making candles in a church. Again, please, the way you say it, it sounds pejorative. There are people of free spirit who do all sorts of things that you may not relate to. That does not mean that they are not your equals. And certainly, there are many ways of approaching this life and living. There are many places to live. And I like to accept that. Now, how am I going to sell you a house if I try to push my idea of what acceptable, and I get a lot wrong, I'm sure. And if you hear something on this record that you disagree with, scratch it. Just scratch it out. And I might pop and everything like that, but still, you won't be able to hear it. It'll just stop right there. Now, this next, I better leave a pause. Cut four. I'm not sure if it's the fourth cut, but I'll tell you this. When I set out to make this record album, and this may be the final side of the record, welcome to the last side, you're fast asleep, and your mother is now checking your breathing under your nose with a mirror. And she's doing this as a way of being responsible, being conscientious. It's one thing to lull you to sleep, and we don't want to take that extra step where you join your maker, which can be done peacefully, but there's a time and there's a place for everything. A time to be born and a time to close. A time to sell, a time to buy, a time to list, a time to take off the market for a minute and rethink, regroup, maybe do some improving. Hey, it's not going to sell with that garage like it is. You're just going to, why don't you finish it? And that $10,000 invested probably more like 20. That 20 invested is going to bring you, you'll probably just break even. I'm not going to lie. I'm never going to lie to you. It's something I want to do as a salesman, thinking lying is easy. Lie, Don. That voice in my head is, here, I'll give you this. Don, lie. You should lie to the customers. That's how loud that voice is. And then it's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't want to be lying to yourself. That goal sometimes is irresistible. And we have to realize that just getting what we want, that's not going to be enough. Your reputation as a real estate agent is also on the line. There is ultimately a broker who is looking at you. Is that God? No, there's no. That's silly. There's no one-for-one like that. This record is not an allegory. I'm talking about real estate. And when I say the human soul, I'll probably say that. And when I say real estate's like the human soul, I'll go ahead and say that too. So when I'm talking about a broker, I'm just talking about another human being who is in a position of judgment authority. We don't want that. It just happens. Got to be able to look at them and say, I've made my decisions, with all my heart and my mind and my, and I was as present as possible. Just like I'm present here every day at the office in case there's walk-ins, and there never is, and you know that. But I'm here, aren't I? Even though I have a terrible headache. I don't now. Oh, my goodness. Don't feel sorry for me, record listener. I want you to feel good that you purchased this record, and maybe you could pass it on to a friend that might help. And they're just going to, gosh, I know it's going to be in one of those bins someday, but it'll be right back out again, won't it? The record itself is like an old horse, isn't it? At some point, you won't be able to ride the old horse. But until then, it might jump from owner to owner, and one of those owners might be the used record shop, which is like the equivalent of a stable for unwanted horses. Now, I am conscientious. This record was made for a particular occasion. And that occasion was Hardy White wanted to play it for his listeners on his radio show. And I understand that, but I also hope that even though there's literally only one, that it might get passed around like a doobie. Oh my goodness. I'll tell you, there's a funny story that goes with that. My name is Donald Bourgeoisie, and no middle initial. And one of the reasons is because, it rules out all the vowel names, right? I don't want to inadvertently have a silly name. It spells something. And I was telling the story one time, and I said, like doobie, and they said you'd have to have more than one middle name. It'd be like Oscar Otto or something, and then you'd have to have also additional last names. And I said, well, how about that? And I hadn't thought of that. And that's why I need you, the other end of this equation. The other end of the equation. Yes, all equations can be flipped. I learned that in algebra. If it's wrong, I apologize, and I blame others. But I believe it can. I believe you can flip the equation, and the answer can be question. So I present to you some questions which may very well be answers. And one of them is, why am I listening to this? And it doesn't seem like something I'd listen. The minute they said real estate record, I shut it off. I thought maybe it was vintage, so I listened to give it, because some of the old ones are funny. But not this one. And this one was, I felt agent was unconventional or non-conventional. And that's not something I enjoy. I'm a very conventional person. In fact, I was just at a convention. And something I noticed there was a fellow apologizing for not knowing anything about comic books. And he had this lost look in his face, like he was there to talk about escrow. Oh, gosh, I can relate to that. If you've listened to this and you've decided, I want to go into this business, I want to sell things, principally houses, to those who need them, here's some information where you can look up and find out more about real estate. Now, I'm going to leave a gap here. This is not going to get recorded. This will be a little gap. click to make a mark, so they'll know when to cut that out. And what they'll do here is they'll put in the information. They'll say, hey, public library or something, give you real estate courses, and you can go start a career. It's great. First thing you'll need, and they might not tell you this, and I should mention this after the break, is you will need an SUV. It never used to be the case. It was a station wagon was okay. And now, apparently, yeah. Not only will you be driving clients around, but also with their St. Bernard, or I don't know, or their luggage. But get that SUV. All right, they should have put that in by now. And hopefully that information will lead you on your way to a career. Thank you, record company or radio station. I'm confusing. I don't even know what media this is anymore. The media is both, as you know, the message or the massage, depending on what year it's published and what it has to say, really. What I have to say is thank you for listening to this record. My name is Don Bourgeoisie. I am a real estate agent. I'm primarily a real estate agent to the well-known radio personality, Butchie Spinoza. And I'd like to thank him for his patronage and his radio show. And I believe this is his spot that I'm on right now. That's what he tells me. He's playing it on his show. So from now on, I'm told to listen to that. And now I'm going to do something that excites me very much. And that is, I'm going to tell you what you're listening to. You're listening to the Butchie Spinoza radio program featuring Don Bourgeoisie, real estate agent, author of Be the House, on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9. in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org, where we have lots of listings. And you can go right on there and see the fabulous listings that they have in your area. Don't you want to move to New Jersey? I can set you up. I'll set you up. First of all, the first thing you'll do is you'll live with an FMU DJ. And so we find you a permanent place. That's our new program. Is that you'll move in right with any, not one you like either. So we'll pair you up based on what we think are our complementary personality disorders. And so that'll be nice. Not ones that they aren't identical, you see. And that way we'll see. Sometimes opposites attract. Other times, you might murder each other. But I know you'll get somebody you like. They're all I have met. Many of them, and sold all of them something at least. So we have that. And they're beautiful, and they all live somewhere, at least for the night. Thank God. And I hope you do too. I pray that you have shelter over your head tonight. I pray that you feel safe. And if you don't, I pray that you have a route to safety. I pray that you feel content. In moments at least, and understand that there are others, including your house, who know what it is to be alive, and the pain and the challenge of existence, and how all of this seems like a real estate sales record, and really it's frightfully real. It's the life we're living. Sometimes we're one thing, other times we're others. Sometimes we have expectations. Other times those expectations are shattered. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah. the streets! In the highway! Yeah! And I can sing this when I'm by myself. Listen here.